This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Good morning. My name is Thomas Bowles. I'm the Managing Director for the DIA in the European, Middle East and Africa region. And I'm joined here by Dr. Howard Chazen from the Generics Office of the FDA, who just finished a session on generics,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And what we were just discussing, this was the first dedicated session on generics for the DIA. So that also really signifies the importance of this class of drugs. So I was going to ask some questions about the session and maybe take it from there. So first of all, maybe you, for those who didn't attend, although you had a really good turnout of over 100 people,
yes,
why don't you tell us a little bit what the session covered?
Well, the session is, again, a first for DIA. It was about the fact that generic drugs have their own formulation concerns and issues that relate to safety. The safety, though, is not about the active pharmaceutical ingredient.
Yeah.
It's what makes the generic a little different.
Yeah.
So there are perceptions that generics aren't as good as brands or don't act as well as brand.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to get past that misperception.
Yeah.
So the session not only talked about generic drugs and the FDA industries and academic perspectives, but also about the misperceptions of brands versus generic
yeah.
drugs.
Generics are actually around for quite a while, right? Why are we talking still after so long with generics on the market, things like perceptions and so on? I saw some data that it shifts, but it seems
right.
to shift quite slowly.
Well, because a lot of advertising that happens with the brand sets people's expectation that brand is better.
Yeah.
If I see it in a magazine, if I see it on TV, it must be better. So I think the idea here is that generics have always saved people money,
yeah.
and they pick them up and they've used them and they're commonly used. But then sometimes they hear, oh, the brand's better, or oh, my doctor will only give me brand. And
yeah.
so a misperception happens where suddenly maybe people feel, oh, maybe that generic isn't working as well.
Yes.
Or it's a lot cheaper. It's less expensive.
Yeah.
Is it made cheaper?
Yeah. Yeah.
So all these questions the public starts to raise in their
yeah.
own minds.
Yeah.
So the point is we always focus here at DIA about development of products.
Yes.
And drug development through phase 1, 2, 3 studies, but we haven't really focused in on what happens to the life cycle of a product. You know,
right.
as the brand goes away and the generic drugs start to increase in the market, more and more people will use generics commonly, but sometimes there'll be questions raised and expect their concerns.
Yes.
Perceptions are changing though
over
many years, but they're still not complete. And as you heard from Dr. Kesselheim, it's a lot of it's about the physician too.
Yeah, that was quite surprising because you would imagine that the patient perhaps is not as knowledgeable around this and therefore issues like perception can influence. You would have expected a physician, being a trained physician, would know about medicines. And it's quite surprising that even in that sort of, let's say, educated stakeholder category, the issue of perception, and there was still like a third, I seem to remember, of all physicians that believed that generics are of a lower quality than the originator.
Well, if you think about it, physicians are exposed to the advertising, the journals, meetings, and they get used to brand names and not the generic name. And they write their prescription and then the patient leaves. And then suddenly the patient's at the pharmacy and realizes that new drug is $300 for the month.
Sure.
And they say, I can't afford that, so you
yeah.
don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, the physician is disconnected from the patient's economics. And that's another issue that physicians may not be aware.
Yeah.
One of our questioners at the end said, you know, in medical school, we don't have much pharmacology education. And we don't think about these kinds of things as physicians when we're writing scripts. We just think there's a problem. Here's the therapy, write for it, and I'll be done.
Yeah.
But again, the economic issues never play.
Yeah.
Until you see the patient the next month and you say, well, how did you do on that new med? And they say, I never got it.
Yeah.
And you say, why? And they say, because it was $400.
Yeah.
And so I can't afford that new medicine.
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem, that we have to close that gap between physicians and patients and what they're sort of handling when they end up trying to pay for that kind of medication.
So apart from the sort of perception challenges that I think were quite clearly laid out, what are sort of other topics in the generic development bring it to market that occupy you from the FDA? Other, just throwing this out, ethical issues or other issues that are important for you to look at as an agency?
Well, my group focuses on safety and surveillance, but
yeah.
also we're thinking about how we can try to get at these questions through research.
Okay.
Like, could we test patients and blind them to brand versus generic to see if these complaints are really true, or are they just perceptions?
Yeah.
Because if they're just perceptions, we can focus on that and try to help that with messaging.
Yes.
But if it's truly something wrong with a particular generic product that's replaced the brand, then we'd like to fix that.
Yeah.
We'd like to correct it so that the brand and generic are substitutable.
How would you do that? Would you do that in clinical trials?
Well, one area in our Office of Generic Drugs, we have the Office of Research Standards, has a methodology for putting out grants and contracts to set up actually formal studies, either looking at retrospective cohort studies through databases,
yeah,
or prospective parallel or crossover clinical trials,
yeah,
to try to address these.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit of a provocative question, right? But what if you would do that and differences would come out? Would that not have a major impact on the whole perception paradigm of generics being sort of bioequivalent to the originator drug, etc.? And that, because now there is discussion focuses very much on, you know, they should be considered the same. And if people feel they're not the same, this is more a perception issue. But if you would get that based on real data, what would that mean for the generic drug as a class?
Well, I think the idea is to confirm what we already know.
Okay.
We know that generic drugs should be pharmaceutically equivalent, that's the chemistry, bioequivalent through testing, and they should be substitutable. They're not identical, they're substitutable, because there are some allowable differences. If we find a generic that isn't acting substitutable and is what we call therapeutically inequivalent, we need to make sure that's not available as a substitute for the brand because it's not reaching all the criteria necessary for approval anymore. Sometimes that can happen when, let's say, a generic product gets on the market and suddenly the uptake's very fast, and then maybe the manufacturer has not been able to scale it up properly, and they wouldn't know until it got out to a broader market, and then there was a problem.
Yeah.
Or the bigger problem with, well, is the bottle, the packaging correct? Is the injector correct?
Yes.
The device that may come along.
Yeah.
We're very concerned about the newer products coming down the line that are complex,
yes,
that may be complexly made, or a drug-device combination,
yes,
that might be confusing.
Yes.
If you switch from the brand to the generic, since it looks a little different, feels a little different,
yes,
would it be used a little differently? And also off-label use. If you think about it, a broader population is being exposed. You have a brand product, very carefully evaluated in a patient population. It's probably too expensive for most patients to use. Then the price drops dramatically. A broader population, sicker, on more medications, is using it. And that's a whole different paradigm that we'd like to know more about.
Yeah.
So that's some of the challenges that face generic drug uptake.
Yeah, you mentioned the word uptake, and I come from Europe, and as we, before the interview, said, I'm not an expert in the generic market as you are, but I find it quite interesting to see that here, indeed, the discussion seems to focus much more actually on the regulatory pathway and safety issues rather than uptake, because there was also another statistic that came out in one of the presentations that is sort of like 90% of all prescribed drugs in the US are actually generics, and they saved the system, what was it, $1 trillion between 2002 and 2000, yeah, something like that. So if I, with my European mind, and have in Europe, we have much more of an issue of uptake, right? There are really some countries that have a really good uptake of generic and some countries that don't have it. And some of it is related to perception, frankly speaking. You know? But what's your view on in the US in terms of the uptake discussion? Is that the 90%, for example? Is that that's the sort of target area? And so on?
Well, what the US has that might be different is that sort of the default is at pharmacies filled with a generic.
Yeah.
Unless there's no one that's not available. But the doctor has to write on the prescription, do not substitute.
Yes.
To, in order for the brand name only.
Yeah.
So most physicians are not writing those that down on the prescription. So the pharmacist is dispensing a generic.
Yeah.
So the generic uptake is kind of automatic here. There's really not much choice. Unless you're on a particular product, like we mentioned, anti-epileptics was for a while controversial about people not using generic anti-epileptics, but perspectives are changing, and that's why it's up to 90%. The other 10% are drugs that probably have no generic. And then, of course, new products that come on the market, new chemical entities, for a while, because of exclusivity, they're not going to have a generic. So we'll never get to 100%.
Yeah. No, sure. Can I maybe switch to maybe some of the stakeholders, right? Because this was also in your session, it's very much, let's call it industry and regulator or agency. What's your views on the involvement of patient groups? On some of the slides, they were mentioned the role of patients, for example, in adherence. Yeah. So what, but also maybe for you as an agency, what do you see the role is of patient, maybe more patient groups rather than individual patients?
Well, I think sometimes patient groups have contacted FDA directly, okay, or they sent their complaints through others, or through, we get letters, congressmen may write in. Yeah. There are various groups that look out for medical safety, and they will send things in. There's something called citizens petitions. They'll be written to FDA saying, you shouldn't approve that product because of the following concerns we have, and they all have to be answered before the drugs are approved. So there's a lot of mechanisms to hear from the public, and that's what we're here for. We're here for public health. You know, I'm not here personally to approve more drugs. I'm here to, you know, help the public. Yeah, that's why I'm in public service. So that's why I'm at FDA.
Okay,
so that's and the bottom line is we'd like patients to get clearer instructions. We'd like them to not fall into the trap of this misperception issue. We'd like to re-educate that generic drugs are safe and effective, just like the brand. But that's going to take some time because people believe what they believe.
Maybe as a last question, like also again for those who didn't attend, what would be the sort of, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 key messages that you want people that watch this video to take away?
Well, I want people to know that generic drugs are safe and effective. They're substituted for the brand. And then FDA really works hard. We don't just, you know, people may misperceive FDA as, you know, a regulatory agency that just approving products and not thinking much about them after they're approved. But
yeah.
I have a feeling, well, people should know that FDA spent a lot of effort in making sure that drugs continue to be safe on the market.
Yeah.
They do a lot of surveillance. There's a lot of cross-center talk. A lot of multi-disciplines are working on this problem all the time. And we want to reassure the public that this is our job. Again, we're here for public safety. We're here for them. And that would be probably the final thing I'd like to say.
Okay, very good.
Thank you very much,
Dr. Zed. And as I said, this was,
thank
you for the interview. And hopefully next year we have another session on generics, for sure. Okay, thanks.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.